3, your update on the Las Vegas massacre, a citywide operation planned obviously for many months involving a number of different people. We have a new video, as I mentioned in the last hour. I'll go over that again in a couple of minutes. There is a lot to talk about, and back with us is Gary Holland. This first hour, not this third hour tonight, we're going to talk about the latest from Las Vegas, and also we're going to go to Las Vegas directly in a couple of minutes and talk to somebody who's currently in the Mandalay Bay. Hello, Gary. Welcome back.
Hey, how's it going this evening, Jeff?
It's crazy. It's crazy. Getting crazier every day.
Yeah, very, very, more crazier. The stories are going in a thousand different directions.
I think part of that's by design, by the way. I really do think so.
Sure. Yeah, the new timeline that the New York Times, apparently, when that was in that Daily Mail piece.
Yeah.
If you know, I sent you an email, and if you read the email, if you're looking how they're saying this timeline worked, basically... If everyone who's seen the article knows what I'm talking about, they're saying that this man started shooting out. Now the new timeline is he started shooting on the crowd, doing single shot trigger shot, what I call it.
Right.
And then at the same time, within that same 1 minute, shot 200 rounds into the hallway, then turned right back around and started launching back into the crowd again within a minute and a half span. Well, just do the math. If they're saying Paddock had, let's just say for the, if he's got retail magazines, 30 round clips, they're saying that he shot at Campos during the same minute he started shooting at the crowd. Uh-huh. He would have had seven clips now preloaded into seven different rifles to be able to launch 200 rounds in the hallway. And that still wouldn't have fit into the narrow time frame.
Uh-huh.
You know, they claim.
Uh-uh.
That's in less than 1 minute, he turned around from shooting on the crowd to lay in shooting on the crowd, turned right around, shot 200 rounds, like I said, in the hallway. It really, what is in Nick and Campos? It's what I call that is pure Hollywood action fiction.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. It's complete fiction.
Not the best Green Beret could pull that one off, I don't think.
No. It's literally physically impossible. Yeah. It defies the law of physics. You couldn't do it. I don't care what anyone says. You just can't do that.
Look at that program on television. I don't know the name of it. It has to do with the Navy SEALs. None of those guys. They got to be laughing at this. Got to be.
Anyone with a brain should be laughing at this.
Right, exactly.
It's really, what they're making this sound, they're really comparing this man to the final shooting scene, the shootout scene. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Scarface, but you ever see the end of the movie, Tony Montana.
I vaguely remember
Al Pacino.
Yeah.
At the end, shot that had that big, you know, look like a 60, M60 type, M60,
mm-hmm.
belt driven. And he was running around shooting everybody, and they were, you know, blasting them full of rounds, and he was shooting everybody all around. That's what... these images you're going to get of this guy. Like I said, you got to understand. If you do the math, they're saying he did 12 individual singular bursts, meaning stop, then 2, 3, count the numbers they're saying. I'm going off their own timeline.
Yeah.
12 bursts times 30 rounds per clip, which is basically one clip per singular burst. That's 360 rounds. And then an additional maybe 30 rounds, and I'm being generous with that 30 rounds. The initial rounds where they said he shot singularly with the trigger shot,
yeah.
Okay? That's 390 rounds. Best case scenario. You could be doing the math every different way, but the same conclusion is he couldn't even have got enough rounds off to do the damage they're saying that he did. It's impossible.
No.
Physically impossible. Now, most of these people who were wounded had multiple shots. So you're being, Jeff, if they're saying, just counting the 58 people, so their numbers, using their number dead, 58. If he would, we're saying that from 1,100 feet away, far away, 32 stories up in the air, they're saying that he shot down, and 14, almost 15% And I'm talking about, that would be only saying each person who died only got one round in their body and died.
Fatal. Yeah.
They're still saying 15% of every round he shot off hit someone to kill him at one round each. Think about that.
It's beyond ludicrous. It's completely, it's science fiction, stupid Hollywood drama. That's what it is.
It is exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's really dumb. We're going to get back into this, and let me go over to Las Vegas now, live, and see if Xavier Hayes is standing by. Are you there, Xavier?
I'm here, and yeah, the fairy tale is absurd, for sure.
All right, now, are you in the Mandalay right now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we don't want to talk too loud. We don't want you thrown out. Say hello to Gary Holland. He's standing by here.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Okay. Xavier has authored a number of books. He's a ferocious researcher. He went up to Las Vegas to find out what it looked like, what was going on. He's been up there many times in the past. Of course, you all know Gary. Gary lives there. And as a tourist, Xavier, what do you see in there now? Let's not talk about the Mandalay right now, but just generally, what's the town showing you? What are you seeing?
It's pretty empty, and I see a lot of this, you know, sort of that kind of, you know, Vegas strong, sort of that pop propaganda where, mm-hmm. you know, come together and love and everything, you know. It's 'cause they shifted from what happens to Vegas stays in Vegas, I guess, to to this, you know. They had to change the strategy.
So, okay, you're going around town, and it's definitely down. How much down as a tourist would you say it is compared to your last visit there?
Probably half, I guess. I mean, it's really bad. You know, there's not even as many bums as there usually is, which is a weird sign.
Well, that is odd. Have you talked to any employees in the business there at all and asked them about what happened here 3.5 weeks ago?
I tried to, but most people don't really want to talk about it. You know, there doesn't seem to be, like, the vibe is really strange because you have, obviously there's some sort of shock left, right?
Sure.
But you still have this. It's bewildering to me because, you know, I've been wondering when they were going to do this sort of kind of Illuminati sort ritual sacrifice in the shadow of the Great Pyramid, right? You know, you have the Black Pyramid, you got the obelisk. The whole area where that took place is just rife with occult symbolism. So
that's true.
So, you know, it took this long. It was just kind of strange. But the funny thing is there's so much, as Gary was, you know, talking about earlier, it's just so ridiculous that they literally kind of had to just, you know, shift the narrative to anything other than talking about Vegas and in journalistic light, you know, because as we all know, New York Times and everything else is just, it's pure propaganda. So I think, and then. What's really weird is you juxtapose it against what happens down in downtown, like in Fremont, you know, which is, I don't seem to see any change in that respect. And Vegas to me is like this, the cesspool of American, basically everything that has become wrong, I guess, with what America is. Like the people you see, generally the people you see, the tourists you see, are the fattest, you know, the least healthy, just not the typical. I don't know how to say it, but it's not a good look. And then, you know, Vegas was shifted towards trying to become this fantasy, you know, Disneyland sort of. With kids and more family friendly, right? With kids and all this.
Yeah.
And so anytime you go in the casino, you're bombarded with this, the worst music on the planet.
When you say 40. Kids, you're talking about teenagers then?
Teenagers, right, exactly.
So you're hearing, what are you telling me? You're hearing teenage music in the casinos and in the
this
hotels?
Is all you hear is the worst pop top 40 teeny bopper fake music that exists nowadays. That's not even music. I don't even know what you know.
Oh, it's just product. That's what it is.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's product. It's American Idol type factory nonsense. That's just very bad. So that's all you hear. So it's shoved down your throat. Anywhere you go. Basically, there's maybe two casinos left that have sort of an old school appeal that. When you're not bombarded with this, you know, this sort of IQ lowering nonsense, the Golden Nugget kind of remains, you know, nice poker room, very, very nice, and the El Cortez, which is one of the oldest. I mean, that's one of the few places that the Rat Pack hung out or whatever. Still, but these are, you know, off Fremont, and
yeah,
it's not. Yeah,
okay,
it's not like,
let me ask you another question. How about we hear that they're charging for everything now. They're really every buck they can possibly get, they're wringing it out of people. What do you see?
They're squeezing out. It's about $8 to catch the bus on the Strip. If you want to get some water, they charge you. You can't even, you know, usually if you go to the bar in the casino, you ask them for a cup of ice water or whatever, right? They charge you for this now. They literally can't give you ice water. The buffet is about $20, basically. Locals know that if you go to Palace Station, you know, you could probably the cheapest one in town. But when you're on the Strip or even off Fremont, it's just probably $14 or $15 would be the cheapest. It's not your grandma's Vegas, basically.
All right. Last question. What's the atmosphere inside the Mandalay Bay like? There's obviously no evidence of anything that you can see, but what's the sense? What's the energy like in there?
I was looking for like body scanners and stuff. I didn't see any of that, but the energy is really morbid, man. It's really weird. If it was four black operations gone wrong or arms deal gone wrong and ISIS or whatever it was, you know, the whatever happened in that little corner of Vegas, because, you know, this is the end of the Strip too. I mean, I think there's an airport over there somewhere.
Right. Right.
And literally they're building everything. I mean, there's so much empty land on the Strip. They're all trying to build condos. They're trying to get into the Miami condo game and rip everybody off. But they're all half empty because, you know, Vegas is 120 degrees for pretty much 8 months out of the year. Like who wants to live like that?
Right.
You know?
Do you hear anything from the people in the Mandalay Bay? Do they say welcome back? Glad to have. Is there any kind of over?
No. But there is a lot of, I guess, video game, like Ellen DeGeneres, right? You know that?
Yeah.
She has, there's a lot of that. Like, you could tell if you kind of trace everything, you could see what film company is owned by what, and, you know, you kind of all link it all together, and you'll see that in the casinos. There's none of that. It reminds me of, like, when the first time I went to Germany. It's very solemn and weird. Like the German people, I guess, still messed up from the war, even though it was a long time ago. You still have that. There's a strange, not sort of friendly, you know, that type of vibe. And that's kind of what I'm feeling around this.
So they have not been able to get the hotel staff to get back up yet, is what you're saying. They're going through the motions, but I'm not hearing any overly happy, overly friendly personnel there.
No, it's really weird over there, man. They're still building stuff, and there's some looking. I looked at where would that be, right? Where it actually happened, and it's still pretty much right there, you know. But there's a lot of construction stuff.
Very good. All right, Xavian, thank you for the quick report. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care over there. Hope they don't toss you out for this. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Okay. All right, Gary, that's pretty much what you've been spelling out and illustrating for a long time. And
I could give a few details on what he was talking about. A lot of it isn't condos. It's actually what they're doing. Some of it is condos, but a lot of it what they're doing are these timeshare cons where, you know, the timeshare basically is you go in there, they give you the pressure deal, and one condo unit they break up in these little square cubic inches basically, and they can sell
100 cubic inches or whatever. They basically break these condo, a one-bedroom condo down, say like a 700-square-foot condo, and they'll break it down to cubic inches, and they're basically selling you one 700th of the condo, basically.
Wow.
And they call them timeshares. And, you know, it's the old timeshare shakedown. And so they've been doing a lot of these timeshares where, like, if you buy a week, they say if you buy one, or actually the way they do is 1/52nd of those condo, which is 1 week out of the year, basically.
Right.
And they'll say they try to get you these programs where if you buy a week in Vegas, you could trade that week in Vegas you're buying to go somewhere else if you want to go somewhere else. But it's a scam because say you want to do that, you're paying, they sell it to you for $20,000-$30,000. By the time you're done paying interest on it, you paid $100,000 for 1/52nd of a condo.
$100,000.
Then you do want to trade.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And if you want to trade it, you still have to pay not only on top of your mortgage for the time, so you're paying maintenance fees every month, and you're paying a ton of fees on top of that. And if you want to trade your week, you would think, well, I get to trade. Since I'm paying all this every month on this, you know, 1 week of stay here, that if I trade it to go, say, stay in a week in Miami Beach, it'll be free. Wrong, because then you have to pay like a fee to stay at the place in Miami Beach. So it becomes, and it's like they say, well, you can stay for the week for $179. I was like, well, what's the point of paying for a timeshare if I still have to pay to stay somewhere else to trade my week up? It's a scam. The other thing is, this attitude, by the way, has been in town for a while. The shooting, yes, that maybe enhanced it a little bit, made it go on steroids a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But the attitude that Xavier is getting at the Mandalay is, it's the process has been this. Hours have been being cut. Everywhere. I have a friend, a lot of people I know that work in the business here in town.
Uh-huh.
I know a guy who's a breakfast cook, omelet cook at one of the buffets, local casino buffet. He works too. And so we're talking, and he goes, I've never seen it this slow. He goes, I've been working in this town 15 years. He goes, he works over at two casinos. He works two different casinos, two different ownerships. Because he works at one of the station casinos, and he works at another one, which is a Boyd gaming property. Both places, he said, dead. Dead as a doornail every day. And he was mentioned in Palace Station, which is to the strip, closest buffet to the strip, cheapest one you're going to find. Matter of fact, one of the cheapest ones in town. I went there the other, about a week and a half ago. We went there, brought my family there. It was so empty there. And we're talking peak dinner time hour. We're not like right before the buffet closes, that type of thing. Peak, I'm talking like about 7, maybe about between 6:30, 7 at night. That's peak dinner time. Dead. Literally, there was nobody there. And this was, by the way, on Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football was going on. And you go to the sports book, because the way you go to the Palace Station is you walk through the sports book to get up to the escalators to go up to the buffet. Sports book's dead. You have a few bums laying around watching the game for free. That's what they're there for. No one's hardly playing, you know, betting. It's just the vibe is, and I understand he was saying, you know, the strip, they're playing all that new hip-hop music and stuff. They're trying to get the millennials in. But like I told you on our other shows, the millennials have no money.
No.
So you're trying to go for the wrong crowd. And the other older crowds, like my age and above, they're strapped too. Everybody's strapped.
Nobody's
disposable
income anymore. You got 103 million Americans out of work, off the job rolls, just gone. Finished.
The easiest way you have to tell how this town bad it is. Now, off days of the government. I'm talking days off. Government has a government holiday, say. And you go when there's no government, like schools and all them things are closed. All the government offices are closed for the day. When you go on the freeway, I'm talking about 95, which is when it goes basically 95 freeway covers all the suburbs where people live and but go to work to the strip, 15. It is so empty, the freeways. And also the bus stops, the city bus stops all around town used to be packed with people waiting to go to work. You can go by any bus stop now. You're lucky to see one person sitting there.
Wow.
And it's usually an elderly person.
Wow.
And you go through all these different neighborhoods. Cars are always in the driveways in the middle of the day. Yeah, this is a 24-hour town. It's a 3-shift town. But I'm talking all times, day and night. Driveways full of cars, never going to work. In my neighborhood alone, most of the neighborhood, I hardly see anyone ever going to work. You just don't see it. And yeah, there's government jobs. I'm telling you, that will be the scariest point, is if you see the days government's open, it's busier, a lot busier. Not busy, but much, much noticeably busier.
Uh-huh.
So if the government was to shut down tomorrow, you know how many people you would have out of work? I mean, it would be staggering.
Yeah.
It would be staggering. Because you got people here, for instance, who used to work full-time, working part-time now. Like I told you, this town's a very close-knit town. It's a chain-effect town. So let's put it, for instance, during the good times, when I told you people were betting $3 and $5 a hand.
Yeah.
Cocktail waitress getting tipped $100, $200, $300 a night. That casino would basically would be like they're getting two customers. Because at the end of the shift, 9 out of 10 cocktail waitresses, bartenders, bar backs, anyone who's getting tips in that casino, are going on the machines to gamble.
Huh.
Nowadays, they're hardly getting any tips, and the tips they do get, they're not going to go gamble with. They need that money to survive because they had their hours slashed and dashed. They need that money just to pay their mortgage, to try to pay the ridiculous Obamacare rates, to pay the ever-increasing taxes here in town, the sales tax that keeps constantly going up. You go inside the stores. Go inside of any store. Shrinkflation. Packages getting smaller. Prices going through the roof. I know. I do the shopping for my family all the time. I go in the stores. I mean, and it's like the prices are literally going up bi-monthly now.
Wow.
It's like I say, man, you know, I paid $3 one month for something. The next month I'm paying $4.68.
So that's the word.
Fast food restaurant.
It's called shrinkflation. I never could figure out. There used to be like, let's say a portion, 12% portion on a food item. Well, you go back a month later and it's 12 ounces. The next month it'll be 10 ounces. Same size package, maybe a little smaller. But they started to cut. Then the price went up. So, yeah, okay, I got it. That's bad. Las Vegas could, we're going to go through this. We got a lot to cover. Thanks, Todd. Las Vegas could stagger into another massive economic collapse from this. We are not out of the woods at all, I would think. The city fathers are sweating it. Yeah.
Never did. Anyone who says Las Vegas got, here's the other problem. 50% of all weekend business in the Las Vegas on any given weekend comes from Southern California.
Sure.
The economy in Southern California is a disaster. I go to Southern California at least sometimes monthly, sometimes, you know, once every couple of months for some reasons I have down there.
Right.
You go down the 15 freeway in the morning. I'm telling you, 10 years ago, you're talking parking lot all the way into Los Angeles County. You take the 15 freeway to the 1060, 210 freeway. You literally, I'm talking during morning rush hour traffic. Now, we're talking Inland Empire, where people used to go live in the Inland Empire. Cheaper to live, to drive into Los Angeles. You could literally basically drive, cruise, top speed. And I'm talking morning drive traffic now. All the way into, basically right into L.A. County, to the East San Gabriel Valley.
Huh.
And you're hitting hardly any traffic. Matter of fact, you could take it. I've had, and during the week I'm talking about, this is even during when government is open.
Uh-huh.
Take 210 freeway and cruise right into because I usually have to go deeper into Los Angeles. I take 210 to the 605 freeway. I can do it in less than an hour. I'm talking 210 and 15 freeway straight into Los Angeles County, right in through to the 605 freeway. And I'm telling you, it takes me 45 minutes sometimes. 10 years ago, you're lucky 3 hours. You're doing good. Now it's 45 minutes. And it's going on in California, too. California gas price is $3 a gallon. So that's what's going on in California. 50% of the business in Las Vegas comes from Southern California on the weekends. People don't know that.
Right.
But that's been that way for forever. And you should see on a Friday, the traffic would be, as far as the eye could see, lights coming in from California.
Mm-hmm.
Now on a Friday night, it's like sporadic. Sporadic.
Oh,
unless there's like a major concert or a sporting event, something really has to attract, and that still doesn't bring in the people like it used to.
How they got all
it,
right?
It doesn't.
I read one report from some expert financial guru who said, yes, Las Vegas will recover in time. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I mean, maybe a couple years, a year. This is a mortal wound that Las Vegas has suffered. Terrible wound.
Horrible. But see, here's the other thing, Jeff. Las Vegas, for the past, since the mid-1980s, has really been... It's been a two-dimensional economy. Tourism, casino, construction mm-hmm. was a bigger part of this economy. People have to understand, construction in this town was a much bigger part of the economy than casino business was for
wow.
going on since
yeah.
at least the early 1980s.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because you had the building boom of the – this was the fastest-growing city year after year for decades. I mean, you would see this city 15 years ago,
uh-huh.
and I could tell you there's so many different neighborhoods in Summerlin, you know, and they have these new areas of town, Anthem. Anthem was basically desert 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anthem is a whole big, thriving 60,000 population community now.
Wow.
Anthem,
uh-huh.
and they have Aliante on the other side of town. All these different areas of town. But the problem with what happened is they overbuilt 75. Like I told you, 75% of the houses here in town are basically people are underwater. They're upside down in their
yeah,
mortgages.
Yeah, yeah.
You got people who now are basically living a lot, and they're doing this foreclosure manipulation. Yes, I feel for people who are getting foreclosed on. I mean, I do. But when you manipulate the foreclosure market, what you do is have what's going on now. The real estate market, they say, it's very hot, but it's not, because what's been going on is over the past 6-7 years, the amount of supply of houses for sale have shrunk to almost nothing. So you have very few houses with mm-hmm. a lot of people trying to bid on them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the newer housing, like there's not enough, there's new housing projects that aren't really going up. You see some of them starting here and there, little patches here and there, but not on the scale like I told you it used to be, where they were drawing 3,000 and 4,000 permits a day. Them days are long gone. I mean, you might be lucky if you draw 3,000 or 4,000 permits a year now. And commercial
property
sitting empty.
What could they do to turn this around? What could they do? What options do they have? They can't keep raising the prices they charge for everything and coming up with prices on things that should be free. That's how the town made its goodwill. Food was like $2 for a buffet and whatever. They used to do that, but not anymore. It's gone.
Well, look, you go to fast food restaurants, for instance. Fast food restaurants, every price on the menu board in a fast food restaurant in the past 10 years has doubled. The lower end of the scale here is being hit the hardest. The casinos, they're just basically, they're bankrupt. They're basically like zombie companies where they don't make a profit. They're basically keep removing out their corporate bonds. They keep reselling the corporate bonds to move their debt out further. They just keep constantly refinancing the debt. Some of the debt they just came and pay. This city is like, this valley is overbuilt. It's got a lot of problems where I just don't see a quick fix. You know, I don't see, they're not going to ever recover from the construction boom the way from it was. The construction boom's over with. It's not going to come back here anytime soon, if at all. I just don't see it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just not there anymore. And it's just the people with a certain level of income who can do well in this town. But man, it used to be, this town was such a great town because at one time, if you made $30,000 a year in this town, you lived really good. And you didn't gamble. Yes, you don't gamble, but you could live comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The housing was affordable.
Yeah.
Your taxes were low. It was a lot, but that's all changed now. It has. It's just completely changed, and just big areas of town where just stores after stores are out of business.
What is this town? What the hell is going to happen to Las Vegas? Are you going to see big hotels begin to shut down?
Look what happened. You had they have what's called SLS now, or they change it to W. They're always changing names. The Sahara Hotel sat empty for a few years. It was just sitting there. Went out of business. They closed doors, locked down, and that was it. The company came in and refurbished it and thought they were going to project to have this much sales and growth,
and
it never came through. It landed flat on its face. I know Xavier was talking about downtown. Downtown's been in a funk for years. Downtown's never going to recover. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah, you get people on Fremont Street watching that free show, but people are not spending any money downtown at all.
Huh.
I mean, there's constantly, they do these reports once a month, strip gaming revenue, downtown gaming revenue, what they call the Boulder Strip, which is Boulder Highway. The casino's down on Boulder Highway. And you have the other, you know, the various ones around town. Gaming revenue's down. It's down across the board. And it's been going down across the board. It's been down for years. Every month, you hear the same thing. Well, gaming revenue's down. It fell short of expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And by the way, the short of expectation part, the level of expectation has been going down every year too, you know. I mean, and they can't even meet their, and they're being really, really feeble with their projections, and they're not even meeting them. So,
wow.
You know, this sounds like, you know, the shooting came at the wrong time. It was basically like, let's just say it this way: if your leg was falling off, okay.
Right.
Well, what this shooting did is just basically help the rest of the leg pretty much fall off the body, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's you know, I don't see what they can do, because like I said, North Las Vegas is going to be in bankruptcy again. The city has just been completely disaster. The state had to come in and take it over for a while.
Wow.
They had Faraday, which is a corporation that was going to come in and build electric cars. That deal went belly up. If you see what they did in Northern Nevada, up in Reno, they literally gave away the state store to Tesla to build a lithium factory up there. I mean, the amount of, they gave them, I don't know, it was a crazy amount of tax breaks for the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Uh-huh.
They gave them the land for free. As lazy as it is, Tesla went in, laughed at the state. The governor bent over backwards, do what he, you know, whatever the lobbyists told him to do. And they basically gave him the state, gave him the state treasury, just like the Raiders, same way.
Hmm.
The state just, and you got to understand, the state is floating bonds for all this. They're borrowing for all this.
I got it.
This ain't revenue.
How do they think, honestly, how, the Raiders play what, 8 games there, maybe? I don't know, 8 or 9. They think that's going to do anything to turn the ship around? No.
Well, the sale was, well, we can have UNLV play, which no one goes to UNLV games now. They're not going to go with the new stadium. You might get some concerts there, but they're, you know, come on. You can barely sell out. First of all, that big Mayweather-McGregor fight they had here, they didn't even sell that out.
Really?
They didn't sell T-Mobile Arena. No. They didn't sell T-Mobile Arena out for that match, not at all. And then with all the hype machine and everything, they pumped as much hype in that into that fight as they could possibly do.
Huh.
And they still couldn't sell out.
Uh-huh.
UFC, I've been hearing, has been having a damnedest time trying to sell out. Even UFC hasn't been selling out.
Uh-huh.
And when they do, they have to discount. They have to do heavy discounts on the tickets.
Uh-huh.
And when they, you know,
uh-huh.
So, and I heard even you know, the first 7, 8 games of the Golden Knights, the new NHL team, they've had to discount the, you know, the upper seats. They've been discounting them down. You go on these discount ticket sites, there's tons of tickets available. So, you know, the shows having problems too. Some of the shows that they used to run 6 days a week, now they only go 4 days a week. A couple of days they went dark on them, and so you know, they're not just ain't there anymore. When you don't eat, and Europe too, a lot of the business used to be coming from Europe, but Europe is such a disaster now.
Europe, they ain't
got the business.
No, Europe's
they're not
dying.
Having the disposable business coming here for
it's,
that.
It's dying. Europe is dying.
Yep.
All right, let me go back to the shooting now. Local media. What do they do? They've always just been a disgrace, of course, from day one. What are they doing about this? Are they talking about it?
Nothing.
Where is the investigation now?
Pretty much. Oh, they've moved on. Local TV media is just a joke. They've moved on. It's a quick mention here and there. Some of the like I said, local talk radio has been halfway decent. But, you know, like I said, one of the hosts I mentioned to you, and you've looked into him. Now he's going to have... I would say it's going to be on 2020 this Friday. He's going to be on to talk about the shooting in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to see what his narrative is going to be.
Oh, well.
Because this is Wayne Allyn Root, and he's going to be on 2020. He was talking on his show. He goes, well, I was interviewed. He was for a total of 5 hours setting up lighting, and he goes, they interviewed me for an hour and a half, and all we talked about was the Las Vegas shooting.
Yeah, they'll use three or 4 minutes, 5 minutes maybe.
Yep.
Watch.
Yep.
Yeah, and exactly. It'll be... Come on home. Things are good. Never better. Blah blah blah. That's all they can do. I don't know what else they can do. Okay. Did you look at the video? You must have seen it. This guy in black up on top of this RV, right on the side. It looked like an RV, maybe for one of the groups or something.
Yep.
Creeping along the top, and then the gunfire opens up right from where he was, approximately. And the guy with the smartphone just said the F word. He's wow. So there's one of your ground level shooters perched up on top of an RV. Obviously, what else is the guy doing
the
up there?
Side of the stage too, where southeast corner.
That's
as
it.
As I was explaining to you, where everybody was bunching into. They corralled him in, and the shooting commenced. You know, and so that, and then, you know, there was another article that came out today. And I don't know if it was in the local paper, where they were trying to explain about, first of all, the brother was arrested for pedophilia for trial porn.
Oh, and they claim, you know, but if you read the story, he was crashing in a business that had closed, and they found 600 pictures in the place that he was sleeping in. I don't know how they're going to prove this, but anyway.
Well, supposedly they said they found some on his computer, which is okay. But then they said the biggest part of the lie was, well, we didn't know where he was until Stephen Paddock started Stephen Paddock got shot. He was in a California Medi-Cal funded assisted living center.
And they didn't know. They didn't know how to look up Paddock on their NCIC database and find out where the guy is. This is ridiculous. It's insulting.
And so what I'm kind of, it's just strange. I don't believe in coincidences. And especially when it comes to stuff like this, that the same day story comes out that Stephen Paddock's hard drive's missing now. Gone.
Yeah.
This is an ABC News and said that his hard drive is missing. They said the reason why, now think about this again. He went crazy, killed himself. But why would he destroy his hard drive? Because they said he was more than likely researching SWAT tactics.
Oh, come on.
It doesn't make no sense. And, like I said, when the brother's getting arrested and then the same day his hard drive's missing. You know, this could go any direction. It's so insane that you don't know what to believe anymore.
No.
You know, and it could be a misdirection, or it could be involved in pedophilia. Look, the guy lived the lifestyle of a smuggler. And see, that's what, you know, an hour ago.
Yeah.
There is a difference between an arms dealer, guy who takes cash for guns, and a smuggler.
Yeah.
The smuggler is the man who basically gets the guns in for the arms dealer, okay? Arms dealer being U.S. government. Smuggling operation for the U.S. government. Like I said before, he lived like a smuggler. Basically, a smuggler has nothing to do with the cash. He gets plenty of cash for what he's doing, but he doesn't have anything to do with the sales. He says, look, be here, point A to B guy. You're smuggling the stuff.
Yeah.
The middleman, he's just basically a middleman between supplier, smuggler, dealer. So he was the middleman. He lived like a smuggler. Now, would it be a far stretch to say that he might have been involved in child trafficking? No, because them pretty much they live the same lifestyles. They both do.
Well, the linkage to the Philippine Child Foundation, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Philippines, Southeast. You know, look, where we're talking, Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
One of the
gateway to all of Southeast
world.
Asia, all of it.
Yep. Southeast Asia, and then on top of that, the plane parked in Roanoke, Virginia, and I know it's a far stretch, yes it is, but it's in Roanoke, Virginia, not far from D.C. where Comet Pizza is, Pizzagate. You know, and I've always said this operation is goal-oriented. You know, and what I mean, you know, look, NORTHCOM, when they do a mission, it's goal oriented. There is a rhyme or reason why they did what they did in this town. And they have a goal in mind. And what that goal is, like I said, I'm not an insider. I wouldn't know. But, you know, they don't do it for no reason. They have either goal-oriented missions. And yes, there's peripheral agendas attached to these missions. You know, it helps the gun control lobby or whatever, the other peripheral things. But I believe that this shooting, along with the other ones, there's something else that was going on where they needed a misdirection, and this shooting provided plenty of it. Because think about it. If you didn't want to talk about this story anymore, you just won't talk about nothing. Look, Harvey Weinstein took this, basically, the Harvey Weinstein story took this story and put it in the back pages. Why? Because Harvey Weinstein was known for years. They keep stories like Harvey Weinstein
on the shelf. Yeah.
Exactly. And if you remember, there was something big going on at the time when they pulled Jerry Sandusky's story out. And they always pull, they have these stories sitting on the shelves and they pull them in, they pull them out. It's like a toolbox. When they need the tool, they pull it out of the toolbox. When they don't need the tool anymore, they put it back in the toolbox. They have these stories sitting on the shelf and they have them sitting there for a reason. They pull them when it's convenient. And this story was going 10,000 directions. All eyes was on this shooting. All of a sudden now it's all about Harvey Weinstein and Hollywood, sexual, you know, assaults and abuse.
And I hope nobody out there thinks that Hollywood's going to suddenly clean up its act. Look, they're going to hang a few people out to swing, and that'll be it. It'll be the same old story.
Yep.
You've analyzed it perfectly.
Yep. And what happens, took this story, put it on the back pages. Now, this story will literally fall off the pages, because now you got... Well, the obvious point that Hillary Clinton and the DNC was funding this
whole dossier,
you know, dossier and all that junk, and we, like, you know, wow, you just confirmed the obvious. So it's like, it's come on, that's just more distraction, more noise.
And then what comes along to sweep it all into the trash, all of it, attack on North Korea.
Yep.
Goodbye. It's all gone. You watch. It could happen in the next week or two, and all this is gone. It's gone. It's not even in the media. Nothing.
To do that to people, you know, it's just opening the box. You got to understand. And there's some people that say, you know, we should go and attack. You open the nuclear attack box. What happens? Well, let's just do some common sense things. We attack North Korea with nuclear. Then what do you got on that same continent? Well, India will say, you know what? We've been disputing with Pakistan for years for the Kashmir region. We're going to start a nuclear war. Hey, the U.S. does it. We should be able to do it too.
Right.
You can't.
Pandora's box has never been more deadly and just waiting. And when they open it up, you're not going to get it to go back shut. It just won't happen. You watch.
It's sad because you really.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all being played. It's so sickening.
It broke my heart because I had so much hope in Trump maintaining a level of peace again in this world. And it's just been complete insanity coming out with his generals. And look, they run the show. Obviously, they're basically their press agent. And these guys are insane. The reverse speech with Mattis was right on cue because he's an insane person. That's what he wants to do. He loves war. These guys love war because that's their business.
That's a psychopath, totally.
Either in civilian world or in the military world.
Doesn't matter. They don't care, exactly.
No, that's what
they are. That's who they are. That's what they are. And that's what they'll go to their graves doing, killing people.
And you've got that mentality running NORTHCOM. See, because you have to understand, Mattis, McMasters, they're not worried about the homeland. Kelly, they're not worried about the homeland because they know NORTHCOM's in charge of the homeland. NORTHCOM has their theater of operation that they're conducting right now. Mm-hmm. They're conducting their operation so they can all focus on the foreign. On foreign, you know, destruction.
You know what you haven't heard about? You know, you're right. And what you haven't heard about, though, you haven't heard the initials DHS. Hardly at all.
Nope.
Hardly at all. Nope. So they're there. Big presence. Believe it. Nothing's being said about them.
They don't need to because they got operation fully at hand. I mean, they've got their orders. That like order takers. There's a difference. NORTHCOM is full of order takers. Generals like Mattis and ones who run and control NORTHCOM, they don't make orders. They take them. So they're taking their orders, their marching orders, and they're going with it. They're not stopping, and they
totally
won't
right.
stop.
Completely correct. And the average American, and I'm not knocking anybody, they don't have a chance to figure this out. Not a chance in hell. So it's over. They live in a whole different world than we do. And I mean, all of you out there, I'm talking, wherever you are around the world, you get it. You understand. If you don't agree with us, that's fine. But you're listening and you're entertaining ideas and you're considering concepts and you're considering screenplays. And that's what we've got to do here. We've got to put them all on the table, get them pretty well laid out, and then look at them. Whatever works for you guys is fine. But understand, nothing is happening here by coincidence or chance. Nothing.
Absolutely not. Planned down. When they plan things like this, you got to understand, military mind thinking. These guys plan down to the last dot. They cross the T's, they dot the I's. They don't miss a thing. And don't, you know, the whole thing is, well, you get the story from, the government doesn't know how to do anything. There's a bunch of idiots that screw everything up. Yes, to you, they screw everything up. But when it comes to what they want, they don't screw a thing up. You better understand
that's
this.
Perfect
this is a science.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, I, you know,
they've
when
been at
Jordan
it for
Maxwell,
so damn long. Oh, yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
You know, I here's a video, and I, you know, I love Jordan Maxwell. I have met him, and he's a good man, and people could say what they want, whatever. But I'll tell you what, there is a video this man put out in the late 80s or early 90s. It was called Matrix of Power. You got to watch that video because that will tell you what's going on to this day. The man had it sharp. That many years ago.
Yeah.
In that video, it's a 1-hour video. Basically, he's sitting there in a black, you know, darkened room. And I don't know if you've seen this video.
Long time ago. I've known Jordan for 25 years, and he's a dear friend, and you are right. You're totally right. Go ahead.
The man is spot on. When his analysis, when he said, these people, I have an agenda, and they run on a science, they do. They don't make mistakes. They don't parse from the plan. They stick to their plan. They think, these people think in generations. So that's that they count on people like average Americans think day by day. These people think by the hundreds of years ahead, and they're not diverting from their plans. They won't. They just won't.
You got to go back. This is the tribe. This goes all the way back. They don't take anything for granted. They make damn sure they control it. And if you study it all, and you've heard us talk about on this program over the years, the Samson option, for example, Israel, they let that out a couple of years ago, some Israeli prof or something. If Israel gets attacked and they're in danger of being destroyed, they're going to take everybody down with them. And I've been saying that for over 20 years. The controllers, if they are in danger of losing their control, they will take the whole game down. Done.
Well, yeah, because Israel is just one big criminal syndicate.
It's the retail storefront for evil on this planet. They're not the owners there, but they're the storefront. That's exactly what it is.
It's a very criminalized syndicate. The slaughter they pull with the Palestinians is heartbreaking. The people that just basically, they're treated like an animal would. And I get these mad at these Zionist Christians in this country who preach about Israel. And I ask them the same question. I go to these local churches. You should see how many local churches. Israel's the best, you know, this type of thing. And they literally cheerlead for Israel. And I ask them one question. What do you have to say to the Palestinian Christians that are being slaughtered by these people that you supposedly are fans of? And
or the USS Liberty crewmen who survived.
Sure.
Or how many other operations? How about 9/11? It just goes on and on and on. The American Israeli Political Action Committee, the AIPAC party. That's your main party in this country, right?
Well, that's what I told you. When anyone asked me about Democrats or Republicans, I said, well, no, I said, I always correct them. I said, you mean the AIPAC party? He goes, what is that? Well, I said, you should look it up. I said, I'm not going to tell you. I said, you should do the research yourself. I said, but let me tell you, there's only two wings, and it's a one-party system, and you got the Democrat and Republican wing of the AIPAC party. Because when you sit there and you're elected to any office in the federal government, and they say you got to take the AIPAC pledge, you're pledging to a foreign government before you are to this country. That tells you everything you need to know.
You got it, Gary, as always. Thanks for sharing, and we'll keep on this. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good evening.
Okay. Good night. Mr. Gary Holland. And you get it straight. We're giving it to you as straight as it can be given. Back tomorrow night. And have a good night and a good day, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks.